The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.
Hi, it's Andy. Welcome to another Surrey Storm Podcast. As Surrey Sports Park is finally open, we're going to get the thoughts of Gavin Baker very shortly indeed. And we're going to hear from Hannah Curitan as well, as we find out how she was involved with Storm. Time to hear more from Gavin Baker, who's been telling us more about some of the work they've been doing to reopen.
Our amazing operations team have made adaptations to the building, including touchless taps and door sensors, to reduce the amount of contact required. The taps will run for 20 seconds, the optimum time for washing your hands, whilst the showers have also been upgraded to run for even longer, again reducing the amount of times you will need to touch any buttons. We've also increased signage across the building, with new arrows signifying our new one-way system throughout the building. Our fantastic housekeeping team will continue to sanitise and clean high traffic areas and items such as door handles to reduce the risk of contamination. A big challenge for operating a large facility like SSP is the controlling of numbers, so we have taken a difficult decision of reopening in phases, with the gym and fitness classes the first to open. The swimming pool and climbing will therefore be closed for the moment. And I know this may be a frustration for some of our members. Their health is the utmost importance to us, so taking a cautious and slow route to reopening is important. As we open, changing rooms will only be open for those users who have a disability or a special need, and we ask visitors to arrive dressed, ready for their activity. The way visitors access the gym and fitness classes has also changed. You will now need to pre-book one 90-minute gym slot, which allows us to cap the number of people in the gym at any one point in time. We ask visitors now queue up when they arrive, and a member of staff will check them in and send them to their correct location. In between sessions, our staff will clean and sanitise the facilities ready for the next group. There's plenty of sanitisation stations across the facility, and we ask users to now clean their equipment before and after each use to ensure the risk, to reduce the risk of contamination. We've also set up one of our arenas as a fitness studio. This will ensure there's a spacious environment for our customers to enjoy their activity rather than the people around them. It's also extremely important that our staff feel safe and comfortable, so we put a number of safety measures in place. Those staff that work from home will continue to do so and only visit the building when necessary. The staff that do have to come into the building will continue to work but in bubbles, and they will be given PPE where social distancing is not possible. So with all these measures in place and a lot of hard work from our staff, we can't wait to welcome our customers again.
It's a Surrey Storm podcast with Player Leah. Time now to speak to a member of the team behind the team, Hannah Curitan.
Not on first time.
Hannah, you were at the sports park as performance analysis between 2016 and 2018, so two seasons.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And what did your role include? There's an easy question.
Easy question, yeah. So the main part of my role was mainly to film all the home and away games for Surrey Storm, and then also to code all the games at the same time. So take our little clips of it, so for instance, shooting or any send passes, and then to share that with the team, produce some statistics for them as well, so shot percentages, and put it out there for the players and the coaches to all watch and review after every game.
A pretty full-on job. Did that take a couple of days a week? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, so it's quite handy being able to code at the same time. It reduces sort of the amount of hours you have to do it outside, but generally speaking it can take a couple of hours just to make sure everything is A-OK essentially. And then maybe it's quite a quick turnover. If you had a game on Saturday, you had to get it up before the Monday, basically. So you had a whole day of the Sunday to get it uploaded and everything sent off.
That sounds as if it was the upload to that magical resource, Huddle.
Yes, Huddle, yes.
How would that work? What kind of content would you be providing to that?
The content on that, so if it's just for Storm itself, it will be the entire game, along with our coding. So if there's anything that the team want coded specifically, so for instance if you wanted individual player clips, that would be uploaded. So then what you basically do when you click on the game, you can ask for instance, oh, I just want to see the clips of Mickey Austin. It will just play certain clips that you've picked out just for Mickey. If you were to put it on to share it, because you can share it to all the other teams in the league, and that's one of the things you had to do, you can keep it minimal, so just to the set standards they wanted, such as all the different turnovers, all the different shoot, stop, send passes. So it varies a lot between what each needed to put up for Storm and what you needed to put up for all the teams to see.
It sounded really useful. I mean, for the netball geek, you'd be scratching around for a login, just given the amount of resource that's up there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Come on, definitely. Cher, have you still got your login? We'll have a word about that after the interview. Is that a maybe?
I actually don't have access. I don't.
Tanya was head coach at the time, wasn't she? So she'd come to you and say, oh, well, can you maybe show me that bit of pay in the first quarter, that kind of thing, and it'd be up to you to find it?
Yeah, it would. So if there's anything sort of like during, like after a game that you wanted to have a quick look at, I've had it before, if it's someone's had an injury, the physio would come up and say, can I just have a little look at what happened before that incident or what led up to, for instance, it could just be that they've hurt their ankle. Can I just see if it's the landing, they've landed weird, or if it was, you know, it was very much after the game, let's have a little look, or on the way, to, if we're going to a away game, oh, have you got a clip up for so-and-so, whoever team we're going to see? Can I have a little look and see what sort of bits you've got?
And from your point as well, I mean, even providing all this stats, that must have been really fascinating, and just to see how players have grown.
Oh, definitely. I absolutely loved it. Still love it now. But it's just great to see. You just, the amount of times you're just watching the game, and you can just see how over a season someone changes, how they develop, and you can just see someone grow so much. I remember Emily Golvin growing up, seeing her in the second season that I was there, and she just fit in perfectly and just better as the season went on. You can just see it, and it is just fascinating to see how little changes can really grow someone.
And you must have seen plenty of greats in your time there as well. What about people like Georgia, Katie?
Yeah, Georgia Lees has just grown so much. And to be fair, it's the same with Mickey, seeing her on and off the pitch. Obviously, she's had injuries as well. But seeing how she's got herself involved in the team during that time as well. I mean, or even Lorraine. Lorraine just keeps getting better and better. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant to see. And it's part of the things that we can also draw in, not just by looking at videos, but if you look at it on the stats side, you can just say, right, for instance, if we did Lorraine and how many penalties against and for and things like that, and then you can compare, and then you can work your way around that. So saying, well, this amount happened in this game, let's try and reduce it and aim for maybe this amount or so.
And at the top level of the league as well, it's those little margins that make all the difference, don't they? People will talk about them all the time.
It's literally just all the little things, everything that goes on. It's a small, slightest change, and before you know it, it could be a massive win or a massive disaster, basically. So, yeah, you've got to keep an eye out for all the little things. It could be, for instance, you know, a penalty, it's, you know, you'll go out, penalty ball, and they score and they win. So it's always the tiniest of margins, isn't it?
And since Storm being involved at England and GB hockey as well, what are you up to there? Many similarities?
Some similarities, yeah. So I mainly work with, so I've done some bits with England hockey, GB hockey, but my main bits are with Hampton Westminster hockey team. It's very similar in that sort of aspect as well, in terms of the actual role. So filming, coding, exactly the same. The only difference being outside and being exposed to all weathers that are possible, and having to think about the extra issue of weather and technology. They don't always go together very nicely, as they did with being inside filming all the Storm games. I mean, love it regardless. It's just fascinating to see everything that goes on just behind the camera lens, really, essentially.
We could never possibly imagine what's going on at the minute a couple of months ago, but the safety of all those taking part and the fans, it's going to be important at the minute, isn't it?
Putting the sport on hold. Being probably one of the biggest impacts, I think, for everyone involved in sport. And I know from a hockey perspective, it's really changed sort of the outlook or really thinking about the next steps forward. So all the different tournaments that are going on, that were planned to go later on this year, just thinking, well, what can we do? The hockey season ended for the Premier League, and essentially they had to base people's positions on where their final standings were. So thankfully, our men's team, they did come second, and they're qualified for the European Hockey League, but things might have been different if they actually got to go to the semi and the final weekends. But they were postponed and cancelled for, you know, the coronavirus going on at the moment. So it's always player safety first and foremost, as well as all the fans that come along as well. You don't want anyone to be at risk of anything, really.
Is Storm still part of you? Still in touch with the girls?
Not as in touch as I'd love to be, but I'm always keeping an eye on social media. I do sometimes in the mornings do a bit of Yaz Parsons, little mini workouts.
She'll be happy about that.
I do. I love them. Even if I'm not actually getting involved there and then, I'll look at it. I'll go back onto the Instagram story and just try and do it later on in the day to try and fit it in, because they are tough. They are a good little challenge in the morning to try and get those done. So,
but it's still nice to have played your part, being part of the franchise over the years.
Oh, definitely. And before I actually got offered it when I was at uni, I got offered the role, essentially. I was a massive, massive netball fan. And coming from Essex, Mavericks is the closest one to me. So growing up, I'd seen Mickey Austin and I'd seen Georgia Lees play. To then come and work with them, I basically spent every game in basically like a fan the entire time. I was loving the moment. I was just looking, going, every time they spoke, I was going, oh, it's Mickey Austin.
We're at SurreyStorm10 on Twitter, so get in touch with thoughts and ideas of players that you'd like to hear from. Stay up to date with the latest from the club at surreystormnetball.co.uk.
The Surrey Storm Podcast with Player Layer.